Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Well, just published today, you may have heard it in our news bulletin there with Gail Conway, but Women's Aid have revealed their annual report today. They say that more than 19,000 cases of abuse were reported to the organisation last year. That's just under 16,000 of those cases were domestic violence incidents against women, with 3,500 involving child abuse. Well, our reporter, Paul Quinn, was down at the launch of the report this morning and he spoke to mother of three, Jessica Bose, about her experience.
Back in December 2015, I was subjected to a very serious assault by my former partner. I had returned home from a Christmas party and he was hiding in my garden. He assaulted me so badly that I needed to have reconstructive surgery on my face. I had multiple facial fractures. My nose was broke, my cheekbone was shattered, my eye sockets were shattered. I pressed charges and he's now in custody. He received a 2.5-year sentence.
What was your relationship like before all that happened?
It starts like most abusive relationships. He was very nice when I met him. He said everything that I think he felt I wanted to hear. It soon turned a bit sinister and he became very abusive. At the start it was more kind of verbal abuse and mental abuse, emotional abuse. Then the physical abuse started and I was pregnant, so I was kind of invested in it then heavily. So yeah, that went on for quite a while. People always ask, why don't you just leave? You know, like it's just a case of picking up your bag and walking out the door. But that's not the case at all. These men don't want you to leave and they'll do everything they can to pull you back in every time you do leave.
We've heard from this report that a third of women that contacted Gardaí said they were unhelpful. What do you think could have been done, you know, in your situation that may have made things easier sooner?
Well, within 24 hours of me being issued a barring order, he breached the barring order. He came to my home and forced entry into the house. And I called the guards and they arrived and they didn't arrest him. And this was consistent throughout the relationship. I was calling the guards and they just wouldn't arrest him. I just couldn't get him arrested. It just wasn't happening for me, even with the barring order. The barring order, he used to say to me, it's just a piece of paper. And for me, that's all it was, because it didn't hold the weight of the justice system behind it. And that's what I needed for me to leave, was Garda protection.
OK, that's Jessica Bose, a mother of three, speaking to News Talk's Paul Quinn down at the launch of that report this morning. To discuss, I'm joined by Marie Hainsworth, who's the manager of the Donegal Women's Domestic Violence Service in Letterkenny. Marie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Look, we just heard Jessica's story there. The reality is, though, Marie, Jessica's not unique. There's plenty of other very similar stories like that right across the country.
Oh, there are, absolutely. And I mean, the factors are always very complicated. And the bottom line is, even though we've got structures in place to kind of help and support victims, inevitably there's going to be gaps in services and not everybody's going to be able to access the appropriate kind of service or support when they need it. There's just too big a problem really in the country and it's not really resourced enough to deal with it.
When you say there's too big of a problem, are you referring to, I suppose, the 19,000 cases that were reported to the likes of the Women's Aid organisation last year, or do you mean too big of a problem in terms of more resources, support services are needed to try and address this?
I think it's a combination of both because, I mean, on top of the number of cases reported, as Women's Aid highlighted, when you consider that the vast majority of child protection cases involve domestic violence, that's a huge number of social work cases that are carrying a domestic violence element, some of which may never get into the domestic violence services. All of the resources that need to go into supporting those families, you've got the complications of trying to get families out of that environment. If they don't succeed, do those children go into the care system? The cost just escalates as this situation is allowed to continue. And the problem is not just about the guards and the barring order, but even if a case is taken to court, many judges are not looking to put in place any penalties for people who've breached orders. So there's little incentive, you know, for this problem to be addressed at that level.
My understanding, I know that was something that Jessica Bowes mentioned there in her own particular story, not to go into necessarily that particular experience, but my understanding is that, I suppose, in a situation where a person, whether it be a man or a woman, and that's important to point out as well, you know, feels unsafe or threatened or fearful in any way, that they can seek, you know, through via contacting the guards, particularly through their local district court, the likes of, you know, safety orders, protection orders and ultimately barring orders.
They can, and I have to say that, you know, we would work quite closely with the guards, and our understanding is the response is usually quite good. And if there is an order in place, I know in the past there was definitely a history of being slow to kind of, particularly to arrest somebody in a breach of an order. But the guards would be very clear now, if there's an order in place, they are obligated to act on it. Mm. They find it very difficult when there isn't an order. And I think for a lot of clients that are scared to pursue an order because they fear there'll be reprisals or it might make the violence worse, that can sometimes leave a gap in the system.
And it's not to sort of put the blame on any one side. That's not what I'm doing here. But I know even from just talking to, you know, members, guards, social workers today, I suppose, in preparation for looking and as part of the research for this, one of the points they mentioned was that there is an element on whoever the person is that is reporting, you know, the allegation, the claim, the abuse, that there has to be too, as well, I suppose, a follow-up with that. They have to, you know, if it's a case that they've been asked to come to court, that they, you know, they do need to go to court and follow suit, because there is an element of due process that the likes of the guards, the court services, that they have to stick to as well. There has to be, I suppose, evidence gathering, etc., and all of that.
There is, but I think this is where the dynamics of domestic violence are probably not that well understood, because the reality is, in between each of those sessions, say you go into court for an emergency order and you have to go back 8 days later, that's 8 days the perpetrator's family and people around have got to put pressure on the victim to withdraw a statement, to not follow through. Threats are made against the children, you know, the life for the victim, she's kind of got over the initial attack and is now thinking, well, hopefully I can move on with my life. Maybe things will be easier if I don't kind of antagonize the situation anymore. So these dynamics come into play, and that's why you often see a lot of victims not necessarily following through. And sometimes they're kind of coerced into getting in place the initial order, maybe social worker putting pressure on them or the guards. And then when they kind of reflect on it themselves, they're saying, well, actually, that's not what I want to do at this point in time. So there's a bit of, you know, it's about working with victims, but it's also about understanding the other external pressures that they're under. It's not quite as straightforward as people often think.
Okay. That, for instance, that interim period that you mentioned there, that kind of 7 or 8 days where they've been to court, there's now a kind of a, you know, a lay period of maybe a week before they go back into court. And that's where you mentioned sometimes, Marie, there can be external pressure. Is there a service available to people during that interim?
Well, most people, I mean, certainly the local domestic violence services, or even, you know, I mean, if a family is in social care system, they will often be supported by social workers during that time. But it is, you know, it is a period of reflection, and sometimes fear can begin to step in. You know, I mean, we would definitely encourage anybody in that situation, even to phone in on the helpline to talk to people during that period. But at the end of the day, they're the person that's got to go up into court. It's quite an intimidating experience. Even with our court systems and everything in place, you know, the perpetrator has the right to kind of defend his position. He can be quite aggressive in court. She has to face her abuser. And it's not necessarily something that victims want to go through again.
Mm. Just so you are the manager of the Women's Domestic Violence Service in Letterkenny in County Donegal. Just for people that mightn't be familiar just about that particular service, I'm sure there's plenty other very similar services dotted right across the country as well, Marie. But just explain to people what it is that you do there.
Well, in our centre, we operate, we're also a refuge service. So we have 4 self-contained units where any family within Donegal, if they need to get out of an abusive relationship, can contact our service and see about coming in to stay in the apartments there. We also provide an outreach service then. So we'll go out to whatever location and we cover the entire county, including the Inishowen Peninsula and also the south of the county. And we can meet women wherever they, whatever suits themselves. So whether it's in their own home, if they've moved out of a relationship and they're maybe being harassed by an ex-partner, or we can meet them in a public place, or we can meet them in our own facilities in Letterkenny if that suits.
Like, what I find interesting, I suppose, about all of this, and you know, maybe you can kind of shed some light on it. Like, I'm from County Donegal originally myself. So, you know, it's while it is a very, very big county geographically, there is that sense of anonymity. Like, if I or anybody else was to go up and knock on the door, you know, for your help or your support in an area like Letterkenny, there might be a fear that, God, I might be, you know, you might be known by somebody, you might be recognised going into, you know, to seek help or support. Like, can people go, can they go to services like yourselves in other counties? Do they have to stay where they are? Because you mentioned, obviously, you have a shelter service as well.
Yeah, no, they can choose wherever they want to go. I mean, okay. We would have had clients who've come up, say, from neighbouring counties, Leitrim and Roscommon, who wanted to get out of those counties and have moved up to Donegal. Or there might be people who are currently living, say, in some of the cities, Dublin, or even from Cork, and they want to move back home closer to family, and they might move up to our refuge. But there are other locations, and we would often, if a client wants to move to another county, we would often link in with the service that's in that county and facilitate their movement. So we can move clients across the country. I mean, there's a network of organisations that operate these facilities.
And would that be something that you encounter at all, Marie, in your experience, that kind of fear? Does that prevent people at all from coming forward?
It does sometimes. And sometimes people would phone on the helpline and say, look, I don't want to meet in my local town in case somebody recognises me. Or sometimes if somebody phones into the service and a staff member says, actually, I think I might know that client, so it's best that I don't work with them. You know, we can try and protect anonymity as much as possible. And we can certainly meet clients wherever they want to meet. So if they want to move towns, if they want to, as you say, Donegal's a large county. So there's plenty of options in terms of where they can go.
Just on that, and one listener has got in contact to say, is the service exclusively for women? Where do men go if they're domestically abused?
Our service is exclusively for women. I mean, we obviously field phone calls, but often, I suppose, because we're close to the border, we would often refer men onto the Men Action Network in Derry.
Okay. But there's obviously, there are representative groups as well.
But there are other organisations. Amen is the organisation in Ireland that Tuisla also supports that works with male victims, and they would operate a similar kind of service.
Okay. Just maybe on a final point, Marie, for the moment, various different, I suppose, kind of findings or recommendations have been put forward today from this Women's Aid report. Just in your own experience as a kind of a service provider, and you're working with women on a daily basis and children as well, how do you think the system of helping victims could be improved? In your own eyes?
I think the biggest gap in the system is accountability of abusers. You know, at the end of the day, you can put in place all the supports you need for victims, but if you're not going to hold abusers accountable, if you're not going to actually put them, you know, and put them in a position where they either change their behaviour or they have to be incarcerated or removed from society, then, you know, you're just constantly going to be dealing with an entourage of victims, because that's certainly the education of the judges around looking at the impact of what they're doing by releasing perpetrators again and again and again. It is not being taken into account at the moment.
Okay, we'll leave it there for the moment. Marie Hainsworth, who's the manager of the Women's Domestic Violence Service in Letterkenny in County Donegal. Just approaching 17 minutes past one, you're listening to Lunchtime Live here with Andrea Gilligan. The number, if you want to contact us, is 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. And I do just want to say as well, actually, for anybody affected by any of the items we were talking there, of course, the number for Women's Aid, if you want to get in contact with them, 1800 341 900. And also for men, which, as Marie mentioned, there is a service dealing with male victims of abuse as well. Their number is 0818 22 2240. That's 0818 22 2240.
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes, and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.